Welcome to this edition of the Ute Talk Podcast. This is Grant Bagby from Torn by Sports. Joining me, as always,
Joseph Silverzweig. How's everybody doing? Good. Good. They're all doing great. They're all excited to listen, and they are thrilled at the opportunity to review the podcast on iTunes or wherever
Stitcher,
else. Stitcher. I don't even know, to be honest with you. I don't know what Stitcher is, but people say it when they talk about podcasts. So I love you, Stitcher, and give us a review on that thing.
I just don't know how to react. Like,
I'm a babbler. Man. I'm a babbler, and you just have to roll. It's okay.
Either way, yeah. Like Joseph was saying, we really could use the reviews or just the feedback. You know, maybe don't go on iTunes. I don't care, but reach out to us, utalk@gmail.com. Tweet it at us, DM us at utalkpodcast, and we will take that feedback and hopefully create a better and better product for you. But the other thing I like to do every once in a while is give my man Dalai Lama a plug at the beginning of our podcast.
For sure.
Dude is generating great Utah gear. www.dahlelama.com. And go give that man some love. But he has designed all the Torn by Sports logos, so yeah. Always got to give him some love.
It's great gear. It's officially sanctioned and licensed, and
good quality.
It's at a fraction of the price you pay from the other stores. So, yeah, go get
for
it.
For sure. All right, so what are we going to talk about today? We're going to hit our quick hitters.
No Kuzma watch. I'm sad. It hurts a little bit. I miss it.
Do you need to do your sounder?
No, it's not the sounder I miss. Oh. It's Kuzma.
Okay. So, hey, look. You know what? We should talk some Ute basketball. But, I mean, in the NBA, I'll pull that up and we'll talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
Quick hitters.
Yeah.
But, smart. And then, we're going to talk spring football, red and white game last weekend. And then we want to talk about some basketball. Novak Topalovich is going to be my guess at how to pronounce that name. Is transferring from Idaho State. We want to talk about the impact that might have to the running Utes. And we'll see what tangent might go on beyond that. So, with further ado, let's hit the quick hitters. And I'll take the first one. You take the next couple, too, while I pull up DeLon Wright and
okay.
Jaco Pertl-Watch.
All right, I'll cover for you. But okay. You shouldn't tell the listener that I'm covering for you.
Look, we can't edit. We're just...
There's no producer sitting here in the room across from us.
If you would like to be the producer for the Ute Talk podcast, please contact utalk@gmail.com. So, first up, it's rivalry week. Did you know?
No,
it's
I didn't.
Rivalry
oh,
week
softball?
Today. Softball.
Oh, yes. Hey, yes, we're going to crush them. Crush them. Ping.
I know you're a huge NBA fan and a Jazz fan at that.
Massive.
But I am sure you're going to turn into a rivalry softball game at 6 p.m. on Pac-12 Network. Just so happens,
that's cool. Yeah.
Just so happens to be the same time the Utah Jazz are playing. So I don't know how
well
the ratings are going to be.
Let me tell you something about television in my house. I have a daughter. She's 5. And she is an unstoppable dictator when it comes to the television. So I can get her to watch softball. It'll be girls playing sports. She think that's cool. But man, basketball, it's not the worst one. The worst one is definitely baseball. She'll like throw a fit and yell at you if you try to watch baseball on her watch. But basketball, she's going to be mad if I give it a go. But maybe we can watch a few minutes of softball, a couple pitches, and see what she thinks. Go Utes. She likes saying
go Utes.
She likes saying go Utes. I can't really get her to settle down to a game. Sometimes she'll pretend for football because she wants me to like her, which let's be real. I'm going to like her anyway. She's pretty cute. But, yeah, she's not going to let me watch the Jazz game at 6 p.m. That's the reality.
All right. Well, maybe Joseph will be that one person tuning in to Pac-12.
We're probably going to watch PJ Masks or Vampirina. That's the reality. I just want to level with all of you. So if you need to know whether Vampirina was able to get her Cookie Scout badge, I'm your guy. If you want to know how Ricky Rubio looked in transition, talk to Grant.
Wow. All right. All right, there's some other things going on, of course.
Was that enough time?
That
have
was
you pulled up
time.
Your numbers? Okay.
Red Rocks, 5 p.m.
Oh, man, this is a big deal. This is appointment TV. This is big deal.
Yeah, we've got to support the Red Rocks trying to get to a national title. Of course, we talked about this last week, right? They got a favorable draw as far as rotation. Some stiff competition. They're slotted at a third spot, which would get them into the national title as far as the Super Six, but we'll see what happens. We talked about it a lot last week. If you want to hear some more gymnastics, recruiting, everything, go grab last week's episode. Mm-hmm. The other, softball, just so you know, Beyond Rivalry Week is next, taking up a series against Cal. The softball team's doing okay. They're just above 500, in case you're curious. Beach volleyball is down in Phoenix, Tucson. They're playing Arizona. They're playing Grand Canyon. They're playing a few teams. And then baseball is going to be taking on Arizona State. So to our NBA players watch, I don't know if you want to make a sounder for this. Do you want
to
do a
purl? I'm going to have to work on it. I'm going to have to come up with something. You know what I realize? Okay. I've got a studio. It's on my laptop, but I've got a studio here. I could totally record a sounder and add effects and do all sorts of stuff. So I should do that. And maybe I will, or maybe I won't ever get around to it.
Be funny. All right. Well,
it'll be interesting, guys, because I'm not a sound guy.
Okay, so DeLon Wright and Jakob Poeltl, in case you didn't know, big bench players for the Toronto Raptors, who won last night in pretty dominant fashion. I mean, it was 130-119, and they were pretty much in control the whole game, at least from my standpoint. And let's talk about our guys. So DeLon Wright played 27 minutes and scored 11 points, 3 steals, 3 assists, 2 blocks. Shot 100% from the line. It was a good night for him. I mean, the fun part was there was a play where he blocked the shooter. Toronto got the ball. I think it was Kyle Lowry or DeRozan, one of the two, and they're flashing down the floor, and DeLon cuts down the other side and gets rewarded for his hustle on defense and alley-oop all the way.
Oh, sweet.
Timeout.
Sweet.
Timeout by, wow. I'm totally freaking out. Oh, on the timeout Wizards after that happened. Then Poeltl, let's see, what did Poeltl do? He scored 4 points, 4 rebounds. But, I mean, Poeltl's role job when he's in, he's playing 14, 15 minutes. But it's to clog up the paint.
Yeah, DeLon's really the sixth man of the team. And Poeltl's a role player more at this point. But continues to improve, and his technique continues to improve, and he continues to be 7 feet tall. So,
yeah,
he's got a nice long
career ahead of him. Yeah, so, but doing great. We'll give you an update next week on what they do the rest of this series before next Wednesday.
I want to talk about some football.
Fine.
We haven't really gone spring ball, but
I know. I know your daughter doesn't give you a lot of stuff. You don't need to throw a temper tantrum. Let's just talk some spring football then.
Okay.
Is that okay with you?
No, but she is good about football. We've reached a demilitarized zone when it comes to football, where she recognizes that the cost of conflict is too high to not let dad watch his football.
So, but I'm intrigued to hear some of your thoughts. I mean, the first one that is a hot topic for a lot of people is the quarterback situation. I believe his name's now Tyrone, according to the Pac-12 Network.
Tyrone? Who's Tyrone? Tyler Huntley?
Yeah, they're calling him Tyrone Huntley, if I remember right.
That's an error.
Yeah, so you got Huntley, you got Tuttle.
And Shelley, who's been performing Shelley. Well. And you hear a lot of buzz. And I just want everybody log into Twitter and go to my timeline and go back to like, oh gosh, October, August of last year.
Too long.
Realize
that's a lot of
that
tweets to scroll through.
I have been talking about Drew Lisk for longer than anybody. He's a good player. He's not a Pac-12 quarterback, but the guy can make throws. And I think he's a really useful kind of tool in the arsenal for the Utes. I think especially as like a practice squad guy, I think he can do a really good Cal or Washington State impression. He gets the ball out fast and he hits his man and he's hard to defend against. But I think for me, the best news was Tuttle looked good. Totally met expectations in terms of his talent and you know, what people were hoping for. And the expectations were high, so meeting those is great. But he also was a freshman, which means that we get a nice, orderly progression, which I think in the long term is what you want. You feel like, oh, we want Tuttle to come in and take it over and be amazing. But this works better for the team in the long term this way. And I think probably based on this spring, it really looks like Shelley will be the number two QB. He played really well. And I think his game mirrors Huntley's more closely than Tuttle's does. So it's easier to see him. Oh, Huntley lost a shoe.
We need to make a quick switch. And
yeah, you don't Shelley adjust. Comes in, he can no run the same plays in the same way. You don't need to change the game plan.
Yeah,
whereas
right.
with Tuttle, you have a different approach a little bit because he's not...
He's a pocket passer.
Yeah, I mean, he can run, but in more of a Travis Wilson kind of vein where he's not quick, he's not shifty. He's a big, strong guy, and he'll put his head down and he'll run. But Shelley and Huntley are elusive and dangerous runners in a way that he's not. The thing I liked the best, apart from the quarterback situation, was red zone. The Utes offense looked sharp in the red zone. They scored a lot of touchdowns, kicked a lot of field goals, didn't screw up a lot. And the best thing about that is a lot of those touchdowns were passing touchdowns. And the one thing that I know about this Utah team is that the secondary is really, really good. We've got great DBs. We've got great safeties. The coaching is great. If these quarterbacks can find windows, that means the wide receivers are good, the quarterbacks are good, and the plays are good, because it wouldn't be happening otherwise. It's with when your team is playing itself, it's always hard because, well, is one guy good or the other guy bad? But we have a lot of certainty about the secondary, so... My feeling, excuse me.
I mean, it's spring football, though.
I mean, right. I mean,
here's the thing,
though. Shaker full of salt with this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Is it's like we got super excited about Troy Taylor a year ago. We saw the same kind of stuff. Offense starting to groove, yada, 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 yada. And we got to fall. They talked about how they were going to score so many points. And then they took the easy part of the schedule and crushed people. And then they couldn't score sports in as many points in the Pac-12. It was like back to good old Utes. So, I don't know. The red zone production, I don't know that it excites me. The quarterbacks one, I'm down with. I like knowing we have a backup. I love the idea of having a backup that you don't have to change the game plan. That's nice.
That wasn't the case with Huntley and Williams last year.
Definitely
it was
not.
Really different, and you really felt that in the Arizona game, for example, where Utah was just having their way with them, and then it was Williams' turn, and it wasn't that he wasn't good. It was that they had been coached up to play a different offense than the one he was playing, and they didn't have the plays they needed.
So that's my hard part about getting excited about this offense and their potential to score in the red zone. Although
it
looks really nice.
You're just damaged. You've been burned before.
I've been a Utah fan
by
for
the
too
Utes
long.
Offense, as have we all. But I really like Tyler Huntley, and I really like what I saw schematically from the offense last year, even when it didn't work. And I think the wide receiver core is going to be improved. We'll miss Carrington, certainly, although I note that Carrington was not himself for half the season last year. He was off and on injured, but there's a lot of good receivers and a deeper and broader receiving core than there was last year. I would say my big takeaways is there's a lot of depth both sides of the field. There's a lot of confidence, but healthy confidence, I think. And there were no major injuries, which is a huge deal, especially along the offensive line, which for me is the most important thing, is can we be rotating offensive line injuries. It's okay, somebody's going to have a bad ankle or a bum hamstring and miss a couple of games, but we can't have the left guard and the right guard and the right tackle all be injured at once. We need to kind of roll through so that we can flex through those problems. And not having somebody, you know, tear an ACL or something.
That's knocking on wood, in case you guys know that sound effect.
Is a real blessing, I think, for that objective. Last thing we wanted to talk about was the Chantel Jennings piece. You may remember Ms. Jennings when she wrote for the Pac-12 blog. She has the ESPN one. She has moved onward and upward and now is a writer for The Athletic, and she did a piece on the Utes and talked about how well positioned they are by being the most consistent team and the most stable team from one year to the next. A lot of pieces returning, coaching staff intact. The only add is Gary Anderson, which is hardly an add. That's, you know, coming back home, really. And
I wonder if it might be a little bit more of an adjustment just because he wasn't here for the Pac-12.
Yeah, it's going to be on his ego, I guess. And is he going to be able to say, I'm not the defensive coordinator. I'm just going to talk to kids and I'm going to help them with technique and approach and their mental space and really focus on the kid performing the assignment rather than what the assignment should be and letting Scally handle that. And that's a minefield. I mean, it is. Gary Anderson, been a head coach and a successful head coach in some places, less than others. And
it'll definitely be interesting. Yeah, I mean, you're in essence, he's going from head coach to D-line assistant who has the title of, what is it, assistant head coach right now?
Yeah, but in terms of nominal power over what actually happens on the field, it's designed to be a pretty limited role.
Yeah,
and I think it's really important that he accept that, because if not, what you're going to have is, you know, that conflict between Scally and Witt and Anderson bleeding through into the defense.
To the play. Yeah, and our defense is good. We don't need any kind of drop off there. All right. So, anything else you'd like to talk about in regards to spring football? Because if not, I'm ready to talk some running Utes.
Let's talk some running Utes. I like these running Utes.
You know, I said last week the Utes needed to do something because they need that calming post-scoring big guy who can get them a bucket when the run is going, or they just need a bucket. They can go to a big guy instead of relying on a guard to either make a great drive to the hoop or shoot a long distance three or something like that. But so yesterday, I believe the news dropped that I'm sorry for mispronouncing this.
I think you got it right. I think you just go for it.
Novak Topolovic is the way I'm going. He's a 7-footer, about 230 pounds, I believe is what I saw. From Idaho State. He's a junior, so he's got one more year of eligibility coming to the Utes. And he, let's see here. Yeah, 7 foot, 230 pounds. And he averaged a little over 10 points, 5 rebounds a game. Or I guess, excuse me, last year it was 7 rebounds with 11 points per game. So I don't know. Is this the guy? I mean, his range is free throw line and in, right? That's going to be his range. So he's a,
he's not a guy. He's not a versatile, Euro center. He's a pretty classic paint clogger. But I watched his high school film. I couldn't find any highlights. That's what happens when you go to Idaho State. Nobody makes any videos of you. But I noted that he has pretty quick feet, it seems like, and good footwork for a guy his size. And obviously it's all relative. You know, he's no Justin Bibbins, but he's also 2 feet taller than Justin Bibbins. But I was pleased with that. So I think there's room to develop those moves in the paint so that he can become a more dangerous scorer. Because I think...
Well, 7 foot, hopefully he's clogging the paint no matter what. I mean, his... let's see.
And he's big. He's not a, skinny, lithe 7 foot. He's a big, burly kind of... I think... In terms of body type, Pirtle's a pretty good comparison. They have the same kind of build.
Okay. I mean, I haven't seen his build or any video, but looking at his stats, he's averaging, he averaged 1 block per game. So, I mean, I think this is where, as you like to always say, the Chris Kowiak big man coaching, teaching him to play defense where he's a wall is going to lead to more blocks.
Watch
per game,
for
I would expect more from
better.
A 7-footer like that. The other thing I just want to note, me and my pessimism, we're both hacking up a storm in this studio some reason, but we have, so his player efficiency rating, his PER last year was, 14. The year before that, it was 17. So there's a little bit of drop there with his usage going up. So I'm wondering how efficient of a player he's going to be for the Utes. I mean, the thing I was starting to do after talking last week was what can we be excited about? Do we really need this big time? Do we need this post scorer? And I thought maybe what the Utes would be able to do would be more of a small ball pick and roll game. So you'd have, your small forward, your power forward, even though they're not that big, but they're definitely athletic, likely Lahat Thion, who we got his letter, and Batten would be.
He's locked in.
So, if you're doing a pick and roll with an athletic big, and we've got good guards for it, and Bearfield and Tillman, and all of a sudden those guys are going towards the hoop, you got your big rolling, maybe your big pops, or maybe you do it with a small forward, like it's a Bearfield-Tillman pick and roll, stuff like that. I was thinking it might allow them to do more of a jazz type offense where you're, driving to the hoop and what the Jazz call putting a team in the blender, which is when you have the defense is just constantly overreacting because someone's driving in the paint and the ball gets kicked out, and then they're going back into the paint until suddenly it leads to a really good open shot.
Has a misstep and makes a mistake or
you just
wrong assignment.
Put it on the defense, exactly.
That makes sense.
And I was thinking that's what that's what the Utes could do is based on that
it's
Jazz offense.
Time. He's pretty locked in.
But, you know, a big guy like this, I don't see him doing that much. He's going to be the presence in the paint that they're going to, whether it's a pick and roll or not, because they're going to need those points. Granted, if Batten comes in and proves that he can score better than Novak here, Novak might not be that big of a factor at all. I think this is almost like an insurance grab, right? Here's a Pac-12 program.
Yeah, I think
program,
that's a good,
and
a good way of...
If Batten comes through, great. He comes in and fills in for Jace maybe if he's injured or anything. Gives us some extra depth. But otherwise, if Batten can't do it or Lahat can't do it, then Novak's getting the chance.
Yeah, he's certainly serviceable. He's experienced.
Yeah.
And he's got the body he needs to play the position. And that's not something that's on the roster right now, so
right.
It's a nice thing to have.
I mean,
and you know, 11-7, those are good numbers. That's
true.
That's a good. I mean, I realize
I guess there's a translate, right?
And things like that.
You're going from Idaho State, to the Pac-12,
but 9-5 are good too. You can live with that from yourself.
I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, the other side note, I guess, is this kid was pretty heavy recruited.
It's not just
Pac-12
Larry
teams,
K.
So it's not, So, I mean, maybe there's more.
There were a lot
it.
Of powered teams that said, we like this kid.
And I think it's important to realize that we don't have. I mean, usually you have more information, but there's not a second of video on this guy. So we don't really know what he's like. But if they're excited about him and lots of different Pac-12 coaches are pumped, he's probably talented. He's probably got some potential, so I'm pretty excited about it. I'd mark it like 6-7 out of 10 on the excitement scale.
Okay.
It fills a real need that we were defining last week as a real problem in next year's team, and this definitely, I mean, this is square peg, square hole, exactly what you would have asked for. And I mean, you know, would it be nice to sign a 5-star center? Sure. But given the timing, given what was left out there, it's about as good as you can do.
That's good. Well, next week, hopefully we'll hit you guys with some media talk and talk about Pac-12 and Larry Scott. And so let us know what you want to hear us talk about. Give us some feedback, utalk@gmail.com. Otherwise, go Utes.
Go Utes.